If you have children, you no doubt want them to become faithful followers of Christ. So how exactly do you do that? Hi, I'm Rob West. Whenever you take on an important task, it's vital to have a plan. That's certainly true for raising faithful children. Brian Holtz is here today to help you actively disciple your children in a framework you may not have considered. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our guest Brian Holtz joins us again today. Brian is the incoming CEO of one of our favorite ministries, Compass, Finances God's Way. He's also the author of Financial Discipleship for Families, Intentionally Raising Faithful Children. Brian, great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. It's great to be with you again.
Brian, you were here last month to talk about this book, and we were barely able to scratch the surface. So perhaps we can pick up the discussion again. I know your goal is to help parents train their children as financial disciples. So let's define that. What is a financial disciple?
It's actually exactly what it sounds like. Financial simply meaning that it's relating to money and possessions. And we know a disciple is a person who learns and applies the teachings of Jesus. So a financial disciple is simply someone who learns, applies, and multiplies the Bible's teachings on money and possessions.
Now, you write that financial discipleship has five pillars. So why don't we walk through those today?
Sure. So the first is ownership. This is the realization that God owns it all. He doesn't just own the 10% of our modern tithe or even the 23 1/3% of the Old Testament tithe. 1 Chronicles 29:11 tells us that everything in the heavens and earth is his. And Psalm 24:1 says the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. He was, he is, and he always will be the owner of all things. Next is surrender. So if it's all God's, then what's our part in this thing? Well, we're called to be stewards or managers. 1 Corinthians 4:2 teaches us that it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And being faithful means using all that's been entrusted to us to achieve his goals and to grow his kingdom rather than our own. Next, we come to choice. Choice is where the rubber meets the road. This is about following through with our commitment to handle our finances God's way. My favorite teaching on this comes from Matthew 7:24 through 27. This is the parable of the wise and foolish builders. In this parable, Jesus confronts us with our tendency to hear what he says, but not actually apply it. If we're to be wise builders, we have to actually do what he's instructed. Next, we go to multiplication. Once we've navigated these tough decisions and chosen to follow God's instruction, we have to share it with others. The Great Commission in Matthew 28:18 through 20 tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that he's commanded. Jesus' vision for us is never to keep it to ourselves. We have to put this lamp on a stand for the whole world to see. Finally is eternal focus, and this is a return back to why we do this in the first place. We don't do it for the here and now. Life is so short and eternity is so long, and Scripture is clear that what we do here and now will impact our eternity forever. We need to stay focused on the eternal outcomes of our financial decisions here on earth.
Wow, those are so important, and I love that you've broken those spiritual components down to how we can really affect financial discipleship in our kids' lives. But you also write about the importance of using practical opportunities. Share a few of those with us.
Absolutely. Practical opportunities are really about giving our kids and grandkids appropriate chances to put God's financial principles into practice. So for example, work and income. Have we given our children and grandchildren appropriate responsibilities and rewarded their efforts? Have we given them opportunities to give and to spend? Do our children and grandchildren have financial responsibilities and freedom to make decisions on how to use the money? Planning and budgeting. Have we taught them to count the cost of financial decisions, helping them realize that a decision to buy something today is truly a decision to not buy something tomorrow? And accounting for their finances. Do we walk alongside them, helping them remember the financial goals they had set and offering them wise counsel? Studies show that up to 90% of learning is done through personal experience. So we need to give our kids and grandkids practical opportunities to apply God's financial principles.
Oh, this is so good. I can't wait for our listeners to get a copy of this. Now, I understand you have a great way for them to do that, right?
Absolutely. They can buy Financial Discipleship for Families on our website, compass1.org, the word compass, the number 1.org. And if you buy two or more, you get a 33% discount because we want people to read this with a friend, a coworker, anybody they can, because we're all about discipleship.
That's great. Brian, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Brian Holz with Compass Finances God's Way. We'll be right back with your financial questions. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. When Christ was born, the angels came singing for all the world to hear, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And not surprisingly, today we greet the birth of Jesus with singing as well. In malls and grocery stores, even on secular radio, people hear the gospel through Christmas carols like this one. Truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. The message of Christmas is clear. The King of Kings is born. His light pierces the darkness. He has come to set us free. Let's pray that the familiarity and sentimentality of Christmas will not obscure its message of hope in Christ. For more daily encouragement, visit getanchor.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM. Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of our Savior, but often the busyness of the holiday season distracts us from its true meaning. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress helps us refocus our attention on the entrance of our Savior, Jesus Christ, into this world. Join us for the series, The Incomparable Christ, this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today. The number is 800-525-7000. That's right, we have lines open, and you can call right now with your question on anything financial. Again, the number 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by. You know, we started today by talking about how we train future financial adults. That's right. How do we financially disciple our kids, help prepare them for the road ahead, which includes not only the financial literacy, but also the biblical worldview of money, so that they understand that money is a tool, that God owns it all, that we're stewards, that God's word has a lot to say on this topic, and that we should pursue contentment, that generosity is how we loosen the grip of money, that if something's going to compete with our hearts for first place in our lives with the Lord, it's most often going to be money. I mean, those are essential truths that we need to understand. They also need to understand that money doesn't satisfy, that God is our abundance. abundance. He is our ultimate treasure, and that money really is a tool, that a gift, a blessing, a creation that God has given us to be able to not only enjoy and provide, but also to connect into where he's at work. So when we understand all of that alongside those critical skills for financial literacy, well, it's a game changer. There's no question about it. And we want to help you do that on this program. Just ahead, I'll actually share some of those must-have skills for young adults, and we'll look forward to diving into that. We'll also be taking your questions again today, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's dive in. We're going to begin in Missouri today. Guy, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. My question is revolving around real estate investments. We've been through the rental property route and decided that was really not our forte, so we got out of the rentals and started to do flips, which over the past few years have been fine. We've done well with that, but have often kind of wondered about, I think they're called REITs, R-E-I-T, is that correct? A real estate investment avenue. I just want to know what your thoughts were on that, if you had any experience with those.
Yeah, absolutely. So real estate investment trust can be a great way for you to invest. You know, as you're thinking about a passive real estate investment, first of all, I love the idea of you investing in real estate alongside perhaps a stock and bond portfolio. It's a great way to have further diversification. You know, we can diversify with our stocks by having international and domestic, large cap, small cap. We can diversify in our bonds, but we can also diversify across asset classes, and adding real estate as an investment is a great opportunity to do that. With a real estate investment trust, you're basically, it's a type of company that owns or operates properties that generate income. So you buy shares of the REIT as a way of investing in different parts of the real estate market. And there are positives and negatives to this. You know, while developing and operating a real estate venture is out of the realm of possibility for some, and of course you've done it and done it well, REITs obviously make it a little easier to access and become an investor in, perhaps, let's say, a large scale construction project or something like that. So you're buying a piece of a real estate venture, not the whole thing. There's of course less responsibility and pressure on you as a shareholder with, you know, when compared to purchasing a direct investment. There's also a lot less control, and they come with certain types of risks. So there's different types of REITs, basically two big categories. The first is a mortgage REIT, where they buy, you know, specialize in commercial or residential or a mix of both. So you're investing in mortgage and mortgage-backed securities that in turn invest in commercial and residential projects. And then there's equity REITs, where you're investing in a specific type of property. So it could be apartment buildings, healthcare, hotels, maybe even offices or, you know, self-storage, retail, things like that. The pros are diversification and the dividends, largely because they're required by law to pay out 90% of their income in dividends. So it's a great income generator that can be, you know, a really stable part of your portfolio. There's zero corporate tax. So with the 90% payout rule, they get a tax advantage, which is that they don't have to pay corporate tax. So for instance, many dividend stocks pay taxes twice, one corporately and then again for the individual. That's not the case here. And there's good liquidity, which is not always the case with a direct real estate investment, because, you know, when you're investing in a REIT, it's often relatively liquid. It may takes much less time to buy and sell than it does, of course, you know, rental properties. What are some of the downsides? Well, they're sensitive to interest rates. So, you know, rising interest rates can spell trouble for the price of a REIT, which is obviously what's going on right now. You know, so the value of REITs is inversely tied to the treasury yield. So when the treasury yield rises, the value of REITs is likely to fall, which really makes this in particular a pretty good buying opportunity right now. You know, the taxes on the dividends, of course, you know, are something you have to factor in.
You know, so although they don't pay corporate tax, the dividends are typically taxed at a higher rate than other investments. They're taxed at the same rate as long-term capital gains, for which for many people is lower than the rate at their regular income. But you just have to factor that in. I think that's just maybe a quick overview. I like REITs. I wouldn't overweight there. I would probably make it maybe a 10% allocation to your portfolio. You could go a little bit higher just because you're trying to have a real estate play. But you just have to be aware that there is, more interest rate sensitivity to these REITs. But the upside is you'd have, a lot less of capital invested, a lot more liquidity, and certainly less demand on your time. Does all that make sense, though?
Yes. You mentioned the dividends. Are those paid semi-annually, annually? How are those done?
Yeah, you would pay that at tax time just based on the dividends you collected during the year.
So do they pay out monthly, or how do they do that?
Yeah, it just depends. It might be quarterly, it might be semi-annually. It's going to depend on the REIT.
Okay. And I think you may have addressed this, but can you, the best way to get out of one fairly easily if you want to?
Yeah, you would, especially if it's a REIT that's publicly traded, you'd have a market pretty, as long as there's enough volume on it, you should have very good liquidity on these REITs, absolutely.
And last question, over time, kind of what has been the return rate, or can you even estimate that?
Yeah. It has, it just obviously varies so much. I would say that the rates have been good. I would probably say you would probably want to think about an average annual return, somewhere between 6% and 8% typically when you factor in the dividends. Would be fairly typical. Some of them go 9% plus. So it really just depends. I would certainly take a look at the track record before you make an investment.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for your call, Guy. We appreciate you being on the program. We're going to take a quick break. KJ, Jane coming your way just around the corner. You guys stay right there. Three lines open, 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, and we'll be right back. Stick around.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Bert Harper served as a pastor for decades.
There's always much discussion about a pastor's responsibility and freedom to be involved in the political process. With the declining moral climate in America these days, many pastors are wondering if it's time to be more involved. I would like to share some thoughts with you.
Tap into the insight of Bert Harper when you read the article, Preaching Faithfully in Critical Times, at afa.net/thestand.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is where we apply God's wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices, helping you to live with a biblical worldview as you're a steward of God's money, seeking to be found faithful. So what are you thinking about today, financially speaking? We'd love to tackle it with you. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We have two lines open. You should be able to get right through 800-525-7000. Let's go back to the phones to Arkansas. Hi, KJ. How can I help?
Hello. I wanted to ask a question to see, like, what is the best way to kind of get started, like, financially, like, to get, like, my finances in order? Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to, like, get myself, like, you know, established, like, financially and everything, and, like, do you recommend kind of starting something with like Dave Ramsey's plan, like the seven baby steps, or like what do you think?
Sure. Yeah. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. I love this question that you're asking here, KJ, because I think, you know, we've all got to start somewhere. And I think once you decide, listen, I want to live according to God's principles, I want to get my financial house in order and be a faithful steward, that's the first decision you need to make. Understanding that God owns it all and that what you're managing, 100% of it belongs to the Lord and it's been entrusted to you. And that's a pretty high calling. Give me a sense of just kind of where you're at, and we'll do that by me asking you just a couple of questions. Number one, are you living within your means? So when you get to the end of the month after the bills are paid, both those things you get a bill for in the mail, those things you don't, what I call discretionary spending like clothing or eating out or entertainment, when you put all that together, do you have anything left over at the end of the month?
I do, but I think one thing I need to work on is like my discretionary, because like I like nice things, and like I don't buy a lot of nice things often, but whenever I see something that I really like, I'll buy it, you know.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Well, the key is you really need a plan. I mean, there's nothing wrong with enjoying what God has given you. It's part of what we see in Scripture in 1 Timothy. But we need to do it in light of a plan, because the longer term our perspective, the better the decision we can make today. Because it's not a matter of should I buy it or shouldn't I? It's the fact that I have limited resources, so I create a plan. I give myself freedom and flexibility within the plan to enjoy what God has given me, but I make sure that the plan allows me to have margin or surplus, or you might say cushion, something left over at the end of the month, which is key to funding your longer-term goals. And so you can make a better decision today when you know where you're headed. So, for instance, if you said, listen, I want to be able to buy a house. Well, what do I need to do to buy a house? Well, I need 20% down. I want to buy a $300,000 home. So I need to save $60,000. I want to build an emergency fund. That should be first. So I want 3 to 6 months expenses in a savings account, so when the unexpected comes, I can fall back on that. Well, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you're spending everything that comes in, you don't have anything to put into that savings account. You may want to be saving for retirement. I would love for you to be able to save 10 to 15% of your income for retirement through either a company-sponsored plan or an IRA. You're not going to do that without a spending plan. So that's really the big idea, number one, is you've got to live within your means, and in order to do that, you've got to have a spending plan. Second thing is we want to avoid the use of debt. Do you have any debt currently?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What type of debt do you have?
I have a credit card debt, and I have it's like student loan debt.
Okay, so what do you owe on credit cards today, roughly?
Credit cards is like right around close to about $10,000.
Okay, and are you adding to that every month?
Well, I have been. I'll be honest, a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And then how much do you owe in student loans?
Student loans is right around about $60,000.
All right. And then what do you have in savings? Anything?
No, sir. I don't have anything in savings.
Okay. All right. So yeah, those are the key pieces of information that I need. So really, we've got to go back to what I said originally and create that spending plan, because the first thing we need to do is try to get $1,000 saved so you can break the cycle of the credit card borrowing. You've got something to fall back on when the unexpected comes. The second thing we need to do is create a budget that allows you to cover your expenses, both those things that you get a bill for and those things that you don't, and have something left over at the end of the month that we're going to use to fund the savings account. And then secondly, we probably want to get you connected with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org to try to get your credit card debt paid off. But you can't do it until you have a budget that you're willing to live with, because that spending plan is key. If you don't have that, or if you do but you're not willing to live by it, then we're going to continue this cycle of spending beyond your means, running up credit card debt. You're never going to be able to get ahead and accomplish your goals. Here's what I'd like to do with you, KJ, if you don't mind. I want to connect you with one of our certified Christian financial counselors. This will be a person that has been trained to counsel others in biblical financial decision making at a personal financial level. So we're talking budgeting, debt, giving, those types of things. They'll work with you over the a video meeting, several sessions, help you get that spending plan in place, help you set up a system to track it, help you get pointed in the right direction to pay off that debt and save that emergency fund. And I think that'll get you on your way to where you want to go, but it'll give you some accountability too, somebody that's going to walk alongside you and really help you, you know, accomplish your goals. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Do you have like any books you would recommend that I could read, any literature I could read?
I do. I'm gonna send you one of those as well. I'm gonna send you a book called Master Your Money by Ron Blue, and I think that'll help you a lot. So you stay on the line. We'll get your information. We're going to do two things. This is our gift to you, bud. We're going to send you Master Your Money. I want you to read that over the next month or so. That's going to give you all the skills you need. And then second, I'm going to get you connected with a certified Christian financial counselor. We're going to cover the cost, and they're going to help you get on track financially. Listen, you can do this, KJ. I want you to call me back, you know, in a couple of months once things are in place, and let me know how it's going. Have a Merry Christmas. We'll be right back. Jane, coming your way after the break. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Today's issues.
Blaming a gun for a violent crime or a murder is like blaming the pencil for a misspelled word.
Ooh, I like that.
That would be like a student who he does terrible on spelling. And he says,
we've had a rash of pencil-oriented mistakes.
Misspell words.
Today's issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hey, this is a special week for us here at FaithFi. One of our generous supporters stepped up and said, listen, I know you guys are trying to reach your listener support goal of $250,000 by the end of December. I want to help you specifically with a $50,000 dollar-for-dollar match for the week of December 11th. So that's right, between Monday, December 11th and Friday, December 15th, here we are at Wednesday the 13th, so 2 days remaining, every gift to FaithFi is matched. As a listener-supported ministry, we can't do what we do to bring you this program every day here in partnership with the American Family Association without your support. And so if you'd consider a gift of any amount, maybe you can do $50, maybe you can do $500. I know there's some of you out there that could do $1,000, $3,000, or $5,000. It would go a long way to helping us reach our year-end $250,000 fundraising goal. This week, every gift doubled. So if you'd consider a gift right now, it would be a huge blessing to us. Just head to faithfi.com/impact. faithfi.com/impact. If you forget that, just go to faithfi.com and click give at the top of the page. You'll see our progress toward our $50,000 match. We're just over 10% of the way there. And you can give right there on that page, monthly or one time, to help support our work. Every gift doubled this week between now and Friday here at FaithFi. Just head to faithfi.com. Thanks in advance. All right, let's head back to the phones. We're taking your questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000. You could call right now. Let's go to Oregon. Jane, you've been very patient. How can I help?
And I just remembered a couple of the other questions I have.
Okay, sure. I'm ready for you.
All right. Well, I know you've mentioned this before. I'm looking at something, a paper that somebody sent me about an annuity, and it's paying 5.4%, which is tempting. But I know there's something wrong there that people recommend against them, and I'd like to know what that is.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing wrong per se with annuities. I mean, the reason they're not my first choice is for a few reasons. Number one, an annuity is complex. So there's just a lot of fine print. You've got to really understand what you're buying. They're difficult to understand. There's just a good bit of complexity to them. With that comes a lot of fees and expenses. So embedded in these annuities are a lot of charges. You also tie up your money for a period of time. So there's something called a surrender charge, which just means you turn over a lump sum to them. They're going to give you, in the case of the annuity you're describing, a guaranteed return, a fixed rate of return at a little over 5%. And that's great. You can get that in a CD today, but not for more than a couple of years. You'd be down in the fours. But with that, you lose access to the money. So if you want to get the money back for any reason, you're going to have a surrender charge, could be 6%, 7%, 8% in order to get the money back. So for that reason, what I prefer to do is, unless there's just a reason to do it from a tax standpoint, like you've exhausted all of your retirement savings vehicles or something like that, I like investing outside of insurance products. So get your, you know, term insurance if you need life insurance, but then do your investing in just straight investment products where you don't have the complexity and the fees and the loss of access to your capital. And so then we'd say, okay, well, we can invest in anything. What are we going to invest in? Well, that's where we say, well, what is your age? What is your risk tolerance? What are your goals? Should we invest in bonds? Should we invest in stocks? Should we invest in bank products? Should we invest in a combination of the three? And, you know, how much risk do we take? And with that, what rate of return would we expect? So that's my typical approach. But, you know, if you said to me, Rob, I just don't want the risk that comes with anything, you know, that involves non-bank investments, so stocks and bonds, I want more peace of mind. I want to transfer that risk to an insurance company in exchange for a guaranteed rate of return. Well, that's where an annuity can work, as long as you understand, you know, some of the downsides. Does that make sense?
It does, because I don't understand it at all.
Well, here's what I might recommend, Jane. You know, seeking wise counsel is a pretty prominent theme in God's Word. And of course, you're calling today, and I'm glad you did. But I wonder if it might make sense for you to connect with an advisor who can look over and not spend 2 or 3 minutes with you on the radio like I will, but who can look over your financial situation, understand your income, what are your expenses, what assets do you have, how do we protect them and grow them appropriately to overcome the effects of inflation, which, you know, every year you're losing purchasing power on that money unless you're growing it. And that's why we talk about things like CDs and stocks and bond investing and that type of thing. So I think getting some wise counsel, somebody that's trusted that could really help guide you, would be important, just given your lack of familiarity with these things. How does that sound, though?
Well, I don't trust anybody. After COVID, and okay, dealing with local real estate agents, I don't trust anybody anymore.
Okay.
So how do I find somebody trustworthy?
Well, we recommend what's called the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. So these are men and women that have met high standards. What are those standards? Well, they've got at least 10 years experience. They've had a pastor reference, 2 client references, code of ethics. They've signed a statement of faith. They've been gone through a 50-hour training program on how they build on their already existing base of knowledge and expertise to bring a biblical worldview into their financial decision making. And there's a public disciplinary process. So if they, you know, do something that doesn't line up with the code of ethics, they can have their designation removed. So it's the only industry designation in financial services around men and women who have met these standards around faith and values and character and experience and training. So that would be what I would recommend. You interview 2 or 3 CKAs. The only question is, you know, do your needs line up with what an advisor would offer? And if not, then I'd send you to a certified Christian financial counselor. So typically with an advisor, you would either pay them for a financial plan, a comprehensive financial plan, which could run, you know, $2,000, or you would have at least $100,000 in investable assets, and then, you know, they could manage that for you once you selected them and you all had a good understanding of what their approach was going to be, and it you felt like it lined up with what you're trying to accomplish. Do either of those apply in this case? Do you have at least $100,000 in investable assets, or would you be willing to?
I just got that much, so that's
okay.
Why I'm sitting. I've got it in a stinky CD. But,
okay.
Oh, and that's another thing. A friend of mine, it always mentions, and I remember hearing something about this on the, you know, on AFR or on the radio some years ago, that there's something that changed in the banking system so that if there's any sort of, I don't know, really bad downturn or issue, that the bank owns your money, not you, but that a credit union is different.
Well, no, No, as long as you're at a bank with FDIC insurance, the whole purpose of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which is backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, is to protect your deposit up to $250,000 per institution or per account type and ensure you have access to the funds. So even in the case of a bank failure, they would provide the liquidity, which just means make sure that you could get in there and access the money. So, I wouldn't be concerned about that at all. So I would say either stay with the CDs and maybe ladder them. So maybe you have a fourth of it 1 year, a fourth of it 2 years, a fourth of it three, and a fourth five. And then every year you roll, 25% of it forward and make sure you have FDIC insurance, or connect with a certified Kingdom advisor who could then manage that in light of your goals. If you want to do that, just head to faithfi.com and click Find a CKA. We'll be right back. Are you being honest and dependable in your personal money matters? Honesty is one of the first things Jesus requires of new believers. When some tax collectors approached Jesus to be baptized, they asked, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered to." You need to be honest to be effective for God's kingdom work.
Tune in to Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got room for maybe one or two more questions between now and the end of the program. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Christina. Thanks for your call today. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. So my question is, I have $9,000 in savings. I have $1,600 in medical debt, and I guess what I want to know is what can I do with that $9,000? What's the best thing to do right now? It's just sitting in a savings account.
I do
have a baby coming in April, and so I guess I also I like having an emergency fund just sitting there because I don't know what those expenses are going to look like once I have the baby. I know it's sure. There's medical and a bunch of other things. So,
No, it's a great question. So what are your total expenses over a month's time? Do you have a good handle on that?
Yeah, so I spend about $2,400 a month.
Okay.
And I usually have about $500 to spare.
Okay, great.
At the end of each month.
Yeah, that's great. So you're spending about, $2,400 a month. So you're somewhere between 3 and 4 months expenses in your savings account currently. That's about the minimum I'd like for you to have. So I would leave that alone.
Okay.
And try to get that into a high yield savings account. So for instance, if you were to go to bankrate.com today and you were to click on the button that says high yield savings, what you'd see is that, you know, some of the five-star rated banks are sitting right at about 5% right now for savings with no fees, no minimum balance, FDIC insurance. So somewhere between 4.5% and 5% is what you should be able to get on this money. And you can open that and then link it to your checking account where you normally, you know, pay your bills out of. Link it electronically, and that way, if you ever needed any of that $9,000, you just, you know, electronically move it over, and you'd have it in 2 to 3 days, and that would throw off about $450 over the next year, which is great. I mean, it's not insignificant by any stretch. So I'd try to leave that there. With regard to the $1,600, you know, medical service providers are very willing to work with you on a payment plan if you'll just engage them. And you said you've got $500 a month left over. So, you know, what if you were to say to them, I mean, they'll typically, you know, work with you over a year's time. So what if you said, listen, can I get on a payment plan to pay this off over the next 6 months or the next 12 months? And as long as you're willing to, you know, set up that automatic payment, they'll probably, you know, be willing to work with you on that basis. And that way you don't have to spend your $9,000. You just, you know, pay that off slowly out of your surplus. And then let's keep adding to that $9,000 until you get up to 6 months expenses, which in your case, you know, at $2,400 a month, that's about $15,000, a little less than that. And once you do that, you know, now we're thinking about, okay, let's, you know, if you're not funding a retirement plan, let's set that up maybe through your work or into an IRA, you know, something like that. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. So around $1,500 is what I want to have. And then I can start looking toward investing.
About $15,000.
Is that right? Start at 15,000. Okay,
yes.
Sweet.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yes, maybe 14. I mean, that would give you basically 6 months expenses, which is great. And that way, if the unexpected comes, you know, you've got that to fall back on. You got that earning interest. And then now the goal would be to get 10 to 15% a year going into your retirement plan, whether you do that through a 401k at work or a Roth IRA, something like that.
Okay. Great. All right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right, Christina. Thanks for your call today. May the Lord bless you and that new little one on the way. Merry Christmas. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. I've got a few lines open today. We'd love to take a couple more questions between now and the end of the program. Again, 800-525-7000 on anything financial. Let us know what you're thinking about today. We'd love to dive in and help you explore it through the lens of Scripture. You know, we started today with Brian Holtz talking about managing money God's way, but specifically how we train financial disciples, that is our kids, to be financial disciples. And I mentioned, you know, as a part of that, that we need to be thinking about both the financial literacy side, the skills, but also the biblical worldview. Now, every day we talk about the biblical worldview. What are those skills that they need? Well, first thing we know is that the skills needed are severely lacking. The TIAA Institute, the Personal Finance Index that they publish each year, said young adults in the U.S. are sadly lacking in basic money management skills. Most 18 to 25-year-olds in the survey failed to show a working familiarity with financial concepts like budgeting and saving and insurance and investing. I mean, think about what that means. Thousands of young adults are going off to college or joining the workforce without knowing how to manage their money or how to avoid overspending or how to even build a solid financial future for themselves. So what does that look like? Well, if you're in Gen Z, or maybe you have a Gen Zer in your life who's just starting out, here's a few of those must-have financial skills that they need to develop. The first skill is actually an attitude. It's knowing that God is the owner of everything, that you're his manager, that changes your perspective on money and material things. The number two financial skill is planning. Learn how to make and follow a spending plan. And by the way, the FaithFi app can help with that, and especially for Gen Zers who are used to handling all their money on a smartphone app. It's really simple. It's a beautiful interface. You can download it today at faithfi.com. Just click app or head to your app store, Apple or Google Play, type in FaithFi, Faith and Finance, and you can download it. Thirdly, dreams are good, but a dream without a plan is just a wish. So the next skill is employment. Start at the bottom if you have to. Work hard, develop your resume, earning can, of course, build your financial confidence. The next skill is to open and manage a bank account. Then develop the habits of giving and saving from every paycheck. Learn about credit, how to build good credit while avoiding debt. FaithFi.org has lots of articles on this. We want you to learn about investing, including types of investments, risk, and return. And you can check out soundmindinvesting.org for that. And then finally, admit that you don't know it all and learn where to go for solid financial advice. You know, now more than ever, young adults need financial skills to succeed in the real world. My challenge to our bright and hopeful Gen Z generation is to pursue a firm faith and financial literacy. And by the way, if you're a parent or grandparent, I hope you make it a priority to encourage your young adults in their biblical financial journey. All right, let's head back to the phones and round out the broadcast today. To Ohio we go. Hi, John. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. Good morning. I very much appreciate your ministry. The question is basically twofold. First, implementation time frame of CBDC, and do you see that a social credit score could in any way impact our ability to use those funds?
Yeah. It's a great question. So the first part was a central bank digital currency. You know, I still think that's a long way off. No way to say, you know, whether we'll ever see it come to pass or whether, you know, it's a foregone conclusion. It's just going to take some time. I'm not a fan. I've said that many times on this program. You know, the loss of privacy, the potential for social controls, it's just not, it's way overreach, and it's not something we want a part of, which is why a lot of states are already getting behind saying we're not going to accept it. State of Florida led on this and made CBDC not compliant with its UCC, its Uniform Commercial Code, and they're trying to just get ahead and make a drive a stake in the ground, and a lot of the red state treasurers are following suit. It clearly requires an act of Congress, and with divided government, I can't see Congress getting on board with this anytime soon for the reasons that I mentioned. There's a lot of folks that are really concerned about it. So I think we're a long way off, and you know, I think you know, we'll continue to watch what's happening there very closely, but it's also why, you know, our upcoming elections are so important. They're always important. Clearly, they remain critical, and I think this is one of those issues that we need to look for. So we need to keep our eyes wide open, not put our heads in the sand, but, you know, there's no timetable that's anywhere close to being established at this point. It's still really a research phase more than anything. Now, what was the second part of that?
Oh, the impact are if CBDC were to be enacted on a broad scale, what effect could social credit scores have in terms of accessing those? And then perhaps it's too early to even ask that kind of question. But yeah, it seems to me that we got one hope in 24 to make a real solid turn, or things are going to get bad.
Yeah. Yeah. No question about it. I think, you know, we need to take every election seriously. And this next one is obviously a critical one. There is no social credit scoring system. You know, there is something like that in China, obviously, that gives government and business, you know, business surveillance that gives citizens a score that obviously, you know, can restrict their purchasing. And, you know, the affect everything from buying plane tickets to acquiring property, taking loans because of behaviors. And, you know, some American companies have said this may be coming to the U.S. I think we're still, you know, again, a long way off from anything like that. But we need to make this a matter of prayer. We don't need to, again, bury our heads in the sand. We need to take notice, and we need to show up and vote. So, yeah, could those two things be related if we ever saw a CBDC and we had something like a social credit score? Absolutely. And it's a big concern. So I think we need to stay vigilant. And I appreciate you raising these questions, John. It's something we need to keep at the forefront. That's for sure. Hey, may the Lord bless you, sir. Thanks for calling, and Merry Christmas. Steve in Michigan, I apologize we didn't get to your question today, but I'd love to tackle it. So perhaps you can stay right there and our team will get you scheduled for tomorrow's broadcast. We'd love to get you on first. Folks, that's going to do it for us today. I'm Rob West. On behalf of On behalf of my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood, this has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Let me just remind you, this week, critical for us to hear from you with your financial support. Every gift doubled to FaithFi because of a generous match at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click give. Thanks in advance. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.